After a couple years of COVID chaos, it is great to be back and have our Christ and Christmas drive-thru again. This year's drive-thru is a collaborative effort of Zion Lutheran Church and the staff and parents from our child care center. This celebration has a very simple goal, to put Christ back into Christmas. It seems that it is not politically correct to say Merry Christmas anymore, yet the very Christmas decorations that we use point us to the Christ in Christmas. We hope that you will join us this Christmas in celebrating and proclaiming the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And join us for Christmas Eve service at 4 p.m. and our Christmas Day service at 10 a.m. Our first decoration is our Jesus tree. Since Jesus is the ultimate blessing, different names by which he is known are found on the ornaments of our Jesus tree. Our international Christmas tree display is again inside our chapel, and we have expanded it to include some nostalgic Christmas villages and vintage trains. We hope that you will come inside to see them and join us for some refreshments. As you continue on our journey, you have probably noticed the wreaths in the windows of the building. The wreath was a sign of victory. Christians adopted it as a sign of Christ's victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil. Like the Christmas tree, the circular wreath reminds us of eternal life because it has no beginning or end. The next symbol is an 8-foot-tall heralding angel. The angel reminds us that the birth of Jesus was first announced by an angel to shepherds when he said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The Advent wreath has its roots in the Germanic and Scandinavian tradition of lighting wreaths to bring light and hope to the long winter nights. Beginning with the first Sunday in Advent, a candle is lit each week. The first candle lit is called the preparation candle. It is a blue or purple candle in color and represents the royalty of the coming King of Kings. The second candle is the blue or purple prophecy candle, reminding us that Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies concerning the coming Messiah. The third candle is the joy candle. It is pink, a combination of red, reminding us of Christ's blood shed to pay the price of our sin, and white, reminding us of the forgiveness that comes through Christ. On the Sunday prior to Christmas, the blue or purple anticipation candle is lit with great excitement as we anticipate the birth of the Christ child. The white candle at the center of the wreath, known as the Triumph of Incarnation candle, is lit on Christmas morning. Altogether, the wreath and candles point us to Jesus, who came with a purpose, to ransom our souls from sin so that we might have eternal life. So it is with excitement that we light each candle, looking forward to the birth of our newborn King. As you come to our candy cane forest, you come upon a symbol that has several legends regarding its beginning. History records that a choir master in Germany first used an all-white candy cane to keep the children in his choir quiet during the long Christmas services. It was also an object lesson. The white color represented the sinless life of Christ. The crook, or shepherd's staff, reminded the children of the coming of the shepherds to worship the Messiah. The three small and one bold red stripe first appeared in England and represented the Trinity in the redemptive power of the blood of Christ. The American version came in 1920 and differed only in interpretation. The cane is a J, which reminds us of the real meaning of Christmas, Jesus. The next display is the Star of Bethlehem. It is a combination of the Star of David and a cross. The Star of David reminds us that God promised King David that the Messiah would come through his family. The cross, which makes up the long tail of the star that reaches down from heaven to earth, symbolizes that Christ came from heaven to save sinful man by dying on the cross. The symbols alongside the drive come from the song, "The 12 Days of Christmas." Written in England approximately 500 years ago, during a time of persecution, it was a way to remember the basic beliefs of the Christian faith. However, it was written in code. A partridge in a pear tree symbolizes Jesus Christ. A mother partridge is willing to give her life to save her young. Likewise, Jesus gave his life for us on the cross, symbolized by the pear tree. Since Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, he's the beginning and end. He is represented in the first symbol, which is then also repeated at the end of each verse. The two turtle doves represent the Old and New Testament. The free French hens symbolize the gifts of the wise men, which were both noble and the best they had to offer: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The four calling birds represent the four gospel books of the Bible, which are always calling us to Christ. The five golden rings represent the first five books of the Bible known to the Jews as the Torah. The six geese a-laying represent the 6 days of creation. The seven swans a-swimming represent the seven gifts of the Spirit: prophecy, service, teaching, encouragement, generosity, leadership, and mercy. The eight maids a-milking represent common man as described by Christ in the eight Beatitudes found in Matthew 5, verses 3 through 10. The nine ladies dancing represent the nine fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The ten lords a-leaping represent the Ten Commandments, God's moral law to all people for all time. The 11 pipers piping represent the faithful disciples of Christ, who fulfilled his command to go and call people of every nation. The 12 drummers drumming represent the 12 elements of the Apostles' Creed, the early confession of faith of the Christian Church. The history of the poinsettia begins with a young girl visiting a nativity scene. She didn't have any gift to leave the Christ child, but was told that any gift, as long as it came from the heart, would do. She went out and brought a poinsettia and placed it at the manger. The padre thought it was a perfect symbol, given in love as Christ was given to us: red, as Christ shed his blood for us; green, symbolizing the life we find through him. The poinsettia is named after the American ambassador to Mexico, Joel Poinsett, who discovered this Mexican tradition. Our next display is a kneeling Santa Claus. Please take one of the brochures at this display. It will give you a history of how we got Santa Claus, and we think that you will agree the real Santa was a person who, like the wise men of old, would have kneeled at the manger in honor of his Savior and offered his life as a gift to his Lord. Our final symbols of the Nativity and the cross are the most important. All the symbols of Christmas draw us back to the real meaning and reality of Christmas. It is not a story. Beginning in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve fell into sin, God made promises to send and prophecies that described the promised Savior. He fulfilled those promises and prophecies by sending Jesus to be born in the most humble of conditions, in a manger. He came with one purpose: to die on the cross, paying the price of our sin, and to rise from the dead so that we might have forgiveness of sins and become heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Without Christ, there really is no Christmas. We invite you to pull into one of the parking spots facing the north and come inside to see our international Christmas tree display along with our Christmas villages and train sets. We also have a holiday boutique, coffee, hot chocolate, and cookies, no charge. We even have a Santa and a photo booth if you'd like to take a family picture. When you leave, you can pull forward and exit using the north exit. Thank you for coming, and may God bless you with a very Merry Christmas.